Our present meditation is on Saint Dominic and Dominican spirituality. We begin by observing that two of the Church's greatest spiritual masters, Saint Dominic and Saint Francis, both born in the late 12th century, and both meeting the greatest challenge that Christianity had faced in 1,000 years. Saint Dominic's importance cannot be exaggerated, and that because it was from Saint Dominic that we have so many of the Church's great spiritual both masters in writing and saints who lived what they believed. When we speak of Dominican spirituality, we include first and mainly Saint Dominic himself, then Saint Albert the Great, and then third, Saint Thomas Aquinas. Saint Dominic was a mystic who provided the grounds, the rules, for combining monastic life with a most fruitful apostolic life. Saint Albert the Great was in his day the greatest exegete, explaining the meaning of scriptures, and by his day, the greatest scientist in the world. Then Saint Thomas, on whom ever since the Church has based her understanding of the faith, which is the definition of theology, understanding the faith. The motto of Saint Dominic, which I'm sure we've heard more than once, again the Latin, contemplata alius tradere, to pass unto others what I have prayerfully contemplated. Over the centuries, it was the spirituality of Saint Dominic that has produced some of the Church's greatest mystical preachers, like John Towler and Henry Suso, both of whom deeply influenced Saint Ignatius. The rule of Saint Dominic, first of all, was and remains monastic. And the two main features of Dominican monasticism are its carefully worked out structure and then its requirement of regularity, certain things done at a certain time for a certain length of time. Then the divine office, as part of the liturgy and as fostering common prayer. Saint Dominic introduced into the Catholic Church the importance of study, of understanding our faith. He was reading the lives of the saints, including, and with emphasis, Saint Dominic, that converted again my own Father and God, Saint Ignatius. Then Dominic, in his rule, prescribed two things which may seem to be different but are really identical: mortification and self-mastery. Because Saint Dominic saw mortification, it is precisely mastery over that self-will which is the only obstacle to our sanctity. With that as a background, we go on. Why is Dominican spirituality so important? Especially for three reasons. It was the Dominican vision of holiness that produced St. Thomas Aquinas, who will, I'm sure, until the end of time, be considered the Church's principal teacher, always after Jesus Christ and the apostles. Again, it was Dominic who gave the impetus to Catholic higher education. If there was ever a time in the Church's history where we need to recover St. Dominic's vision for higher education, it is surely today. How well I know, how painfully well I know what happens when what used to be called Catholic higher education, or is higher education still academically, but Catholic often only in name. The late 12th and first half of the 13th centuries, when learning became the object of special attention by the whole of the civilized and surely Christian world, universities came into existence. The lesson is that as a society becomes more educated, academically instructed, the more that society needs to have that higher education thoroughly and authentically Catholic. Otherwise, the inevitable happens, as has happened in our own country. over 5 million annually in our colleges and universities in the United States. As these men and women become more educated, unless, and this is a crucial condition, unless they grow in their understanding of the faith, inevitably, they give up what they had believed as a remnant of their childhood. I know of nothing, which the Western, shall I say, over-educated world needs more than the restoration of sound Dominican principles on the indispensability of the mind being educated, and it must be parallel with the mind's developing in every other subject. Finally, the importance of Dominican spirituality. It was Saint Dominic who gave the church what for centuries the church has thrived on: religious life, which is also a highly intellectual life. As we'll see in our next conference, in reflecting on Franciscan spirituality, two very different approaches to serving God. For Saint Dominic, the motto was one word: truth, veritas. For Saint Francis, again, the motto was one word: love, caritas. Now, something about the origins. Saint Dominic's mother is Blessed Jane of Aza, a beatified mother. Helped Dominic, needless to say, a lot. He had been an Augustinian canon for 10 years. Then inspired by the prevalence of heresy, mind you, this is the early 13th century, something has to be done. On a council from then reigning pontiff, his rule was approved in 1216. And not coincidentally, Saint Dominic lived and taught when the Fourth Lateran Council was held, the exact date, 1215. Just two things to remember from that important Fourth Lateran Council, of which Saint Dominic was an important part: that children are to receive their first confession as a sacrament as soon as they reach the age of reason, because, as the conciliar fathers taught, the age of reason is the age of beginning to sin. Of course, the sins that children will commit, they'll be, comparatively speaking, trivial, venial, as we call them. But, and once more, I know of no single feature, and there are many other features to Dominican spirituality, about which we'll say more as we go on. I know of none that is more important than the importance of receiving the sacrament of confession, not only when a person has committed grave sin, the need for this sacrament as a means of sanctification was already, I repeat, prescribed, decreed by the Fourth Lateran Council, date 1215. And secondly, the Fourth Lateran Council also decreed that the Holy Eucharist should be received. But watch this. After making the child's first confession, over the centuries since St. Dominic, both decrees of the Fourth Lateran Council have, needless to say, been widely neglected. Confession, not only when grave sin has been committed, and communion, from the dawn of reason, preaching was the first priority of St. Dominic, and to this day, they are called the Order of Preachers, OP. And second least in sequence, if not in importance, was poverty, preaching and poverty. What are the two basic premises of Dominican spirituality? They are first, that truth is the foundation of the spiritual life. Truth is the foundation of the spiritual life. How that needs to be emphasized. We are only as spiritual, we are only as holy, I repeat, we are only as holy as our lives are based on the truth. Over the centuries, the number of pseudo-mystics has been countless. When, as I've said more than once, and I think I should mention his name again, Thomas Merton, whom I knew, as I think I've told you, under obedience, very well. Not being grounded in Catholic teaching of the truth. Poor Thomas Merton not only slided away, but ended up, I believe he remained a believing Christian, but defending the most atrocious spiritual ideas borrowed from the non-Christian Oriental world, which I consider in many ways the most serious plague, especially among those who call themselves spiritual in our day. Truth, therefore, is the foundation of the spiritual life. And where do we get that truth? From Christ. How are we sure we have the truth? Through the church which Christ founded. And living now in what is becoming a plague, the New Age movement. Now, literally, several thousand books in English alone are published each year, all on the spiritual life, and all based on Oriental, non-Christian, shall we call it, mysticism. Second basic principle of Dominican spirituality. The source of truth is reason and revelation. Our spiritual life is only as sound as it is based on the truth. And what is the source of this truth? We repeat, reason and revelation. What are some of the leading sources of what we now call Dominican spirituality? First of all, Saint Dominic himself, his rule of life. Secondly, Saint Albert, Albert the Great. Thirdly, and with emphasis, Thomas Aquinas. Fourth, Saint Catherine of Siena, about whom more later on. And Saint Vincent Ferrer, his treatise on a spiritual life has deeply shaped my own Jesuit life. Saint Vincent Ferrer. And please God, I meet Vincent Ferrer in heaven. I will thank him for that little book. He taught me, if you want to grow in humility, watch your thoughts. Every self-preoccupied thought is a temptation. Every time you begin to admire yourself, stop immediately. Self-admiration leads, Vincent taught, to self-adoration. And the more gifted a person is, the more the person's mind must be kept clean and is swept constantly from thinking about this wonderful me. Now, some of the features, as you may call them, of Dominican spirituality. First, according to Saint Dominic, nature is not to be destroyed, but perfected by grace. It is the most important principle of the spiritual life. Of course, we have a fallen human nature. But we have a human nature. We have a body with all its sense faculties. We have a soul. We are human beings. And there is one premise that is crucial for the spiritual life. It is that grace builds on nature. That is why we are all different as persons. In fact, that's what a person is. An individual, intelligent being, I, B, equals P. Our personality, therefore, is our individuality. And we are all different. And God wants us to be different. Wants us to be different. He made us different. No two souls created out of nothing at the moment that a child is conceived, no two souls are identical. And then, since we have two forms of life, the natural life provided by our soul, and a supernatural life provided by sanctifying grace. So correspondingly, when two infants are baptized, they both receive the supernatural life. But, and this is hardcore Dominican spirituality, that supernatural life is distinctive. God wants to be glorified by individuals. As I've been saying over the years, the variety of persons in the human race, over 5 billion, is God's manifestation of His infinity. Variety in creatures is the revelation of infinity in God. This nature, therefore, is the base on which grace builds. Second feature, grace is a new life. And God intends that there be a harmony of grace and nature. Our retreat is concentrating on the saints. And as you know, we could have, well, there are just thousands and thousands of saints in the church's martyrology. We could spend the next 20 years in a retreat on the saints. They're all different. What I hope in this retreat to bring out is both the basic identity of all sanctity in being modeled on Jesus Christ, but also in how important this is, the bewildering variety in this sanctity. God wants us to be holy, but He wants us to be holy and different at the same time. third feature. The theological virtues are above the moral virtues. That's not just a sentence. As we know, there are three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. There are four basic moral virtues of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. Says Saint Dominic, we need all seven virtues. But the most fundamental are faith, hope, and charity. Question. Can infants be saints? Well, today being the 29th, and yesterday being the 28th, I guess we have to say yes. Infants can be saints. The moment for us now, a child is baptized, it receives the infused theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. How crucially important this is. We are naturally prone to judge, what shall I say? I won't say a person's sanctity, but, well, how good a person is by the way they behave. I may have said this before. When I was in my studies in philosophy, years before my ordination, I came from my bi-weekly conference with a spiritual father. I told him, Father, I'm finding charity towards my brethren very hard. He talked to somebody, hardly even notices my existence. Pass him in the corridor. I could just as well be the wall. Some just never smile. Some are always talking, never giving me a chance. Some never say a word. And I've got to invent all kinds of ideas to carry on what is called, but is not, a conversation. Can we, John, take it easy? Holiness is not in how people behave. I've never forgotten that. There are holy people who are strange characters. Oh, we need that. Back to Saint Dominic. It is those infused virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Then the eyes of God make a person holy. Of course, holy people do practice virtue, the moral virtues. Only God can read the human heart and see what faith, hope, and love is in that strange creature whom I'm supposed to love. Well, the next feature logically follows on the previous one. This is Saint Dominic's distinction between two kinds of sanctity. I cannot tell you once more how important this is. And Dominic and his followers always kept making distinctions. A is not B, B is not C, D is not A, B, and C. There are two forms of sanctity. says Dominic. There is essential sanctity and there is moral sanctity. Essential sanctity is primary. And essential sanctity consists in possessing the grace of God in living the supernatural life. Moral sanctity is secondary. Moral sanctity is shown in how we behave. And the primary essential sanctity is possessing and growing in the grace of God. The fifth feature of Saint Dominic's spirituality. This again is crucially important. As we know, once we reach the age of reason, our sanctity depends on both God's grace and our free will. In other words, we've got to use our free will in corresponding with the grace of God. But, said Dominic, between the two, between grace and free will, the primary is the grace. I cannot tell you how, I don't say just important, but how practically useful is this, shall I call it, maxim of Saint Dominic. We enter, say, the religious life, and we find people, before very long, who seem to be obviously more virtuous than me. I may find it hard even to stay awake during meditation. Others can pray. And pray. And they never look at the clock. How near is it to the end of my meditation? You want to keep praying. Again, years and years of struggle, and I still have to admit, oh Lord, how proud am I? And so on down all the virtues. God gives His grace. And He decides how much grace He gives. Does He give graces to everybody? First of all, we all have received enough grace to become saints. That's a law of Christian spirituality. Of course, we must cooperate with that grace. But part of the cooperation is the humility of recognizing that other people just simply, honestly, have more grace than I've got. In other words, God is the master of His gifts, including His gift of sanctity. We continue. Saint Dominic taught that although the primary virtues that are infused into our souls at baptism, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. He also taught, however, that at baptism we have infused, I repeat, also the moral virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Once more, there's much more locked up in here than I would want to spend. What I assure you is not meant to be a lecture in theology. We commonly speak of acquiring good habits. We define correctly a good habit as a virtue. We also hold that you acquire a good habit by the repetition of a good action. You keep doing something often enough, and you acquire the habit. If the act you perform is a good one, you acquire a good habit, otherwise known as virtue. If the act you keep repeating is a bad one, you acquire another habit, which is known as a vice. This, I repeat, is crucial. In other words, as St. Dominic taught, and the Church now holds, that we not only acquire moral virtues, we already have them infused into our souls the moment we are baptized. In other words, virtue means power. That's what virtus in Latin means, power. Power in the mind, power in the will. But this power, the power to will in the mind to act prudently, the power in the will to act justly, and first justly towards God, giving God what he deserves. Power in my will to master my desire for things that are pleasant. Power in my will to control my fears. There are things we should run away from. There are things we should never run away from. That's what the virtue of fortitude is all about. Why is this so important? Because we grow in the moral virtues by growing in the grace of God. Every prayer we say, every Mass we attend, every communion we receive increases our moral life without going through what we might call the psychological real gamut of acquiring these virtues by repeated exercise. Hope I'm clear. The second last of my features of Dominican spirituality. First, let me read the statement. In the mind of St. Dominic, contemplation is not the means, but the source of apostolic activity. Let me repeat. Contemplation is not the means, but the source of apostolic activity. What did Dominic mean? Contemplation, as we've heard, is the enjoyable admiration of the truth. Contemplation is having the mind thinking of God and the will responding by loving God. Notice, it is not as though the more prayerful we are, the more closely we are united with God in mind and will. That's a very helpful means of being effective in the apostolate. Oh no, says Dominic. It is the foundation of the apostolate. We are only as apostolic as we are united with God. Believe me, that is not a pious aphorism. In other words, holiness is the precondition for being apostolic. And we're only as apostolic, and we've defined the apostolate already, being a channel of grace to others. People can be the channels of sin to others. That, by the way, is a good definition of the devil. But we are channels of grace only if, and the measure of that, we are united with God. And the union for Dominic is always the mind thinking of God and the will always ready to accept when it is painful, to do when it is commanded the will of God. Final feature of Dominican spirituality. The highest state of life, he taught, is the contemplative and apostolic. In other words, it is not only the contemplative life, even though absolutely speaking, contemplation in itself is on a higher level than, say, apostolic work. But God himself, when he became man, combined the two. And of course, we're only as apostolic as we are contemplative. In other words, our union with God is never meant for ourselves alone. Our union with God, our praying to God, our conforming our wills to the will of God, always has a finality beyond ourselves. And that finality or purpose is that we, by our union with God, might be then used by him to bring the grace of Christ to those except for whom we would not be engaged in the apostolate. One final observation. Over the centuries since Saint Dominic, the Church has imbibed deeply of his spiritual wisdom. But I know of nothing that is more important in the spirit of Saint Dominic than to realize we are indeed to teach others, lead others in their minds to a deeper knowledge and understanding of God and revealed truth. But God will use us in the measure that we maintain ourselves and grow in corresponding intellectual humility. That is why the greatest of Saint Dominic's disciples, Thomas Aquinas, toward the end of his life, he said, "Oh, that I've been able to share with others has come to me, and I mean this, not from my own knowledge or intelligence. It has come to me from Jesus Christ. And there's one thing that the modern, I repeat, over-educated world needs desperately. It is intellectual humility." Saint Dominic, the master of the spiritual truth to be understood and shared with others, obtain for us the two great gifts we most need: the gift of understanding Jesus Christ, and the gift of humility in surrendering our minds to the mind of Christ, who is God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.